as our brother just shared with us, can you find two greater things in the New Testament than grace and the body? And yet, they're very seemingly common. Grace is a common word, just five little letters, and the body only four little letters. But did you know that they're related? And I think this is one of the key points in this message, is to understand that living by grace and knowing the body are related matters. Maybe we have never connected these two things, and I'm afraid we have not, but we should. They actually belong together, and I hope that in our fellowship together I could convey that to you, that grace and the body need to be related. So I will go directly into the outline in order to live a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. We need to live by the grace of God in the economy of God. Live by the grace of God in the economy of God. Why do we say it that way? Because if you say live in the grace of God, it's very, very abstract. What does that mean? I'm living by grace. I'm not living by the law. I'm not living by religion. I'm living by grace. Well, what does that mean? It really means that the alternative to living in those other things is to live in the economy of God, in the dispensing of God. We receive his divine dispensing every day, and that dispensing is always, let me use this word, it's gracious, isn't it? It's a gracious dispensing. We come forward to the throne of grace. We receive mercy and find grace. Oh, the dispensing of the Lord is always gracious. It's always enjoyable. And that's the economy of God. Now we go on to see, what is the definition of grace? You know, grace, The more I study the Bible, the more I realize I don't understand it at all. Do you really know what grace is? It's a really common word. Another really common word is glory. And in the upcoming Memorial Day conference, I shared a little bit about that word, the word glory. It sounds like we know what they mean, but we really don't. Do you know what grace is? It's so hard to describe. You know, quite a number of years ago, we gained a sister from the University of Washington, and she was a Romanian. And I don't know, I apologize, brothers. I don't know if Ben or David were there, but I was asked to do her wedding at a Romanian Pentecostal church with 600 people. And I asked our sister, I said, well, what do you want me to share about? And she said, well, share about how we are joint heirs together of the grace of life. So I said, all right, I'll share on that. And I talked about what is grace? What is grace? Grace is the triune God in his embodiment in three aspects: the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And after I shared my message, the pastor of the Romanian Pentecostal church stood up and he said the exact opposite of everything I had said. Mainly, he said that grace is unmerited favor. Well, grace is unmerited favor, but what a low definition. That's why I love our hymn. Our hymn says, grace in its highest definition. Let's talk about the highest definition of grace. That's what we're interested in. Well, grace is the triune God in his incarnation to be dispensed into the believers by the Father as the source, by the Son as the element, and by the Spirit as the application. We see that in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The source is the love of God, the love of God, the grace of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That source is the Father. The source of grace, the element of grace, and the application of grace, what are they? They're the three persons of the divine Trinity to be our everything. You know what grace is? Let's just say it real simple. Let's say it as simple as you can say it. Grace is the triune God. You know, when you know what something is, you can speak it in a very, very short way. This is the principle of prophesying. If you don't know what you're talking about, you need an hour. If you know what you're talking about, you can do it in 5 minutes. And this is what we mean when we talk about grace. What is grace? Grace, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of Christ. And it's the grace of which the Spirit is in Hebrews 10, 29, it talks about the Spirit of grace. God is a God of grace. Christ is the Christ of grace. The Spirit is the Spirit of grace. What's grace? The triune God. The triune God is grace. And if the triune God were not processed, he could never be grace to us. He has to be embodied. God the Father has to be embodied in the Son. And the Son must be realized as the life-giving Spirit. And then this life-giving Spirit must enter into us as the application of grace. So let's expand our definition a little bit. What is grace? Grace is the processed and consummated triune God entering into us for our enjoyment. Now we come to point B. The New Testament believers living under the grace in God's economy is a total living of experiencing the processed and consummated triune God as grace. I hope you will pay very much attention to this word, total. It's a total living. A total living means that our entire living is a living of the triune God processed to be grace to us. It's our total living. It's how we survive. What's the total living of the human life? What would you say? I would say the total living of the human life is you have to breathe. You have to eat and you have to drink. Otherwise, you will not live. That's the total living. What's the total living of the divine life? The total living of the divine life is a living of the triune God processed to be grace to us. How about that? How about that? So our Christian living needs to be the living of grace, the experience of grace. Our Christian life is a life of having God as our grace. The grace of the Lord should be with us for our whole Christian life. The last verse of the Bible mentions grace. Don't you think that's significant? And this is why when we write to one another, and I like to receive your emails, very often they say, grace to you, or much grace to you. That's what I need. I need much grace. That's why Paul, he begins and ends every one of his epistles with grace, 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 grace. Why? That's what we need. We need the grace. And may we be the receivers of this grace. Now, let me tell you something you may not be aware of. The consummation of the believer's experience of the grace of God in his economy is the church as the body of Christ. Have you ever connected these two things? Have you connected the grace of God with the body of Christ? That's what we need to understand in this message. Our experience of the grace of God in our living and in our words and in our actions issues in the body of Christ. It's the ministry of grace. It's the supplying of grace. It's the dispensing of grace, which produces the body of Christ. The practical life of the body of Christ comes forth out of the enjoyment of Christ as the grace of God. Every part of the organic body of Christ is an issue of our experience of the grace of God in the economy of God. I hope you can see this. I hope you can see this. Are the producing of the body of Christ, the way it will happen, is the enjoyment of grace. God's goal in this age is to gain the reality of the body of Christ. How will he do it? How will he do it? He will actually do it by our enjoyment of grace. That's how we reach the high peak. That's how we reach the reality of the body of Christ. It's by grace. Okay, let me go on to Roman numeral 2. In order to live a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, we need to know the body. But please do not separate the body from the matter of grace. They belong together, they are together. The goal of God's economy is to produce an economy. The goal of God's economy is to produce a body for his son. This body fulfills God's desire for his expression and for the destruction of Satan. This was God's original intention in creating man, that man would be an expression of God himself, as the many sons of God, and at the same time destroy his enemy, Satan. That was God's original intention in creating man. And we hope that we would fulfill that. The Lord urgently needs the reality of the body of Christ to be expressed in the local churches. Unless there is a substantial expression of the body, the Lord will not return. So you ask me, what is a substantial expression of the body? I don't know. But we're not there yet. If we were there, the Lord would have returned. So we have some ways to go before we reach that substantial expression of the body. Christ in himself is the head, and Christ in all of us is the body. Isn't that wonderful? You know what the body of Christ is? The body of Christ is Christ. Of course it is. The body of, I'm sorry, the body of Mark is Mark. What's the body of Christ? The body of Christ is Christ. Christ is the body of Christ. This is to become God in life and nature, to become he himself. And the work of the triune God in us is to produce and build up the body of Christ. That's all he's doing. He is producing and building up the body of Christ, and we're part of that. We're part of that. You don't need to feel it. You may not feel it. You may say, well, I don't have any feeling that that's happening. Don't worry. This is what the Lord is doing in the universe and in the church. He is producing and building up the body of Christ. The body is the governing law of the life and work of the children of God. I hope we can get this point. This point comes from Brother Watchman Nee, and it's a simple statement, but it's so profound. The body is the governing law of both the life and the work of the children of God. The body needs to be our governing principle, And I hope it could be that way. Okay, F says all the problems of the church today are due to ignorance concerning the body of Christ. You might not think so. You might think that other things are the issue, are the problem. But today, my brothers and sisters, we're talking at a very, we're talking at a very high level. Where do the problems come from? The problems come from not seeing the body of Christ. The biggest problem, the biggest problem is not knowing the body and not caring for the body. And then following that, the way we behave ourselves in the church, the ministry, and the work depends upon the degree of our seeing the body. I want you to pick up these three words, the church, the ministry, and the work. How we behave ourselves in the church, the ministry, and the work depends upon how we see the body. What is the church? The church is the body in expression. What is the ministry? The ministry is the supply to the churches for their growth and development. And the work is the body seeking increase, and how we will function in these various areas of the Lord's work depends on what we see. What do we see concerning the body? So point G says we need to know the body in life. And the last point says we need to know the body in practice. Isn't that right? We need to know the body in life and in practice. So in life, the body of Christ is formed by Christ as life in us. This life mingles with us to become the body of Christ. We don't have that element, do we? No, he has that element. He mingles with us to become the body of Christ. Knowing the body in life is the result of our experience of life and spiritual growth. Then we also need to know the body in practice. A local church, wherever you are, Washington, D.C., Charlottesville, Virginia, Baltimore, Maryland, I don't know where all of you are, Dunloring, Virginia, a local church is an expression of the body of Christ in a particular locality. The one universal church, the body of Christ, becomes the many local churches, the local expressions of the body of Christ. I used to think I was wrong. I used to think you add up all of the local churches, and when you add them together, you get the universal church. No, that's exactly backwards. The local churches come out of the universal church. They, every one of them, are the local expression of that universal church. And I just love this last point so much. If we know the body in our consideration, the body will be first, and the local churches will be second. In the references there, you have Romans chapter 12 and chapter 16. Romans chapter 12 speaks very strongly of the body of Christ. Romans 16 speaks of the wonderful local church in Rome. But what's first? And what's in God's mind first, and what's first in the scriptures? We need to know that the body is first, not the local churches. We do not diminish the local churches in any way. We love them. We love them. But they're not first. The local churches are simply the offspring. They're the offspring of the universal body of Christ. The body of Christ is like the father and the mother. The local churches are the children. We treasure them. We love them. But we also know where they came from. They came from the body of Christ. That's the source. That's the goal. That's what should be first in our consideration. Okay, saints, I'll stop here.